107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Inflation slowing to the point where the Federal Reserve is looking at lowering interest rates. Gas prices a factor, down 7 cents in the past week and 50 cents lower than last year.
Well, some of it comes down to less demand in the U.S. Analysts say the biggest reason for the cheaper gas prices in the U.S. is that oil prices have been dropping globally, down 10% since July. And finally, gas prices are following oil. China is a big reason why prices are coming down. A weakening economy there is playing a role in oil prices globally.
ABC's Alex Stone. His lawyer says U.S. Army Private Travis King, who literally sprinted into North Korea last year, will plead guilty to desertion. A judge will decide whether to accept the plea deal at a September 20th hearing. No word on possible prison time for King. The St. Louis-based federal appeals court overturned a Missouri law that banned local police from enforcing some federal gun laws. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More campaign stops here in Wisconsin this week as the two presidential campaigns eye to get the Badger State on their side. Former President Donald Trump is coming to La Crosse on Thursday. He'll be hosting a town hall. And just announced on Monday, Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance is coming to De Pere. He'll deliver a speech at a business. Vance in particular has been here a lot recently, even joking last week that he basically lives in Wisconsin now. The last visit from the Harris-Walz campaign was in Milwaukee on Tuesday. No word yet on their next visit. And some fast food workers in southern Wisconsin will soon be out of work. KFC is closing more than two dozen locations across the Midwest. This specific group of restaurants is owned by a franchisee called FYM. Five Wisconsin locations have shut their doors. They're in Beloit, Janesville, Reedsburg, Stoughton, and Watertown. That leaves 81 people without jobs. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers add a new quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers traded for Malik Willis, a third-year quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. In return, the Titans get a seventh-round draft pick next year. Willis on mastering the progressions when learning a new NFL playbook in Green Bay.
You know, progressions are a part of quarterback play wherever you're at, so I just felt like you get to different ones at this level, and you with a new team and new people, so you just got to get used to it.
College football, the Badgers getting ready for their first game of the season Friday when they host Western Michigan. Luke Fickell on what they know about the Broncos.
We know as little as we ever have known, right? I mean, they got a new offensive coordinator, they got a new defensive coordinator, and they got a new special teams coordinator. So what do you know, right? Obviously, the head coach is an offensive guy. What the head coach has done, or is it more of the Walt Bell? And, you know, are they going to be the Louisiana Lafayette where the defensive coordinator came from? I mean, so there's a lot of unknowns. You know, even with transfers and things like that, there's still a lot of unknowns.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pickleball. Yeah. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on.
It's underbaked tennis.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, don't make fun of pickleball.
We're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
Dropping by on the next Nightlight is the owner of the Firehouse Comedy Club in Door County, Asher Brooks, and director, producer, musician, and founder of the fabulous website Wisconsinology, Frank Anderson.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 79 this afternoon. Tonight will drop to 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 77. Then on Thursday, another chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high near 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, what's grinding his gears and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
What's going to be another toasty day? I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Tuesday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. The heat advisory continues into the week. It could feel like 100 or more degrees in some areas of Wisconsin. Mother Nature is certainly sending me some mixed signals, though. The trees are starting to turn colors. There's one on my way to work that's red on the top, yet the temperatures are hotter than midsummer. Just make sure that you stay hydrated if you're out there working. If you can, stay out of the sun and in the air conditioning, especially if you're susceptible to heat exhaustion. Check up on each other if you can. Get the tough chores done right away this morning or wait till this evening when it's cooler. We'll have more details on today's heat in about 15 minutes. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing is joining us this morning. We just got our crop progress and condition report, and we've got some livestock numbers coming out today as well from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We'll talk about what these reports mean for your farm at the end of the hour. We'll also hear from a gentleman in Baraboo who has been volunteering across the country to help farm families in need. It's all right here.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
$50 million in state funding is already on its way to rural communities across the state to improve roads and bridges through the Agriculture Road Improvement Program. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonk, and I'll tell you what, one of the happiest people to see those money start to disperse, Mike Colas. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Towns Association, and they've been involved in the process from policy beginning to program execution. While we still have $100 million in the pipeline that will be awarded later this year after grants have been reviewed, but Mike says, really, this is a wonderful beginning to what hopefully will be better road and bridge conditions in rural communities all across the state.
Yeah, this is an awesome opportunity for town officials and the agricultural economy in the state of Wisconsin. We have a $150 million pilot program. $50 million has been dispersed already. 37 projects were awarded across the state of Wisconsin, corn, beans, potatoes, timber, a whole variety of different commodity groups are going to be benefited by that, by improving roadways that are frequently traveled that currently have weight limits right now. And when you use this money for AREP, those weight limits go away. We're building all-season roads, which is something we've wanted to do in the state of Wisconsin for a long time, start to create these thoroughfares that don't have that impediment, which will save farmers time, money, gasoline, wear and tear on their vehicles, et cetera. It's just a good thing for the ag economy. We have a second round of AREP. The applications were just announced about a week and a half ago by WISDOT. The application deadline is September 30th. So any towns that are interested in getting a project funded that is funded 90% by the state, or any of the agricultural interests listening to the show today that are interested in approaching a town official to say, hey, we'd like this road done. It would really save us some money and time and et cetera. Approach your town officials. Ask them to work with you to get the application in and hopefully get an award. It really is a team effort. A town by itself is not going to be able to put together an application that's going to be successful on its own. And so the partnership between the ag folks and the town folks is really, really important.
Yeah, we know that the requests are going to far outstrip this initial money. But like you said, Mike, it's opening a line of communication. I kind of call it storytelling, because the farm and agribusinesses have to partner with towns. You got to tell your story, because the committee that reviews these applications isn't going to come out and be able to review all your projects.
Absolutely. I mean, we had $262 million of requests for $50 million worth of money last time. I think we had 153 applications. So these are competitive, and the ones that will rise to the top are the ones that tell a good story. You know, how does this road improvement save you wear and tear on your vehicle? How does this improvement create a shortcut for you that will allow you to spend less time on labor, spend less gasoline, spend less time on the road? How many trips is it going to save you? Right now, you know, what we have to do if you have a weight limit is you either haul a partial load, and we know that that is inefficient, or you go round and round and round in a way that doesn't create efficiencies. I can't remember the exact application that was awarded, but I remember that in one instance we were saving the egg industry about 17 miles of travel per trip that they won't need to take now. So really a great opportunity telling that story about how it's creating a shortcut, how it's saving time, energy, money, adding to the bottom line of the egg economy is so important. And that's why you got to have a partnership between those town officials and the egg industry to tell a really good story.
All right, you segment perfectly into that partnership I wanted to talk with you about. A brand new one, folks, you might not even be familiar with as far as name is concerned. The Rural Policy Institute, created by the Wisconsin Towns Association, Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, Wisconsin Electric Cooperative Association, and the Welch Group. Mike, how'd this get started?
Boy, this is an interesting story. All four groups for some time had been talking about the real dearth of a think tank to dig into rural policy issues. And it started as a conversation between a couple of us saying, boy, we've been thinking about this a long time. What do you think about the idea? And inevitably, every discussion that occurred between those four groups led to the same discussion. Well, we've been thinking about that for a long time, too. So we started to dig in, and we ended up coming to the conclusion that in Wisconsin and really nationally, we need to start to do more think tank policy-oriented research that helps drive the policy discussion at the local, state, and federal level so that we have a viable long-term rural Wisconsin, rural America, a long-term sustainable economy in this state.
Yeah, and like you said, interesting partnership because I guess some I see coming together. Wisconsin Electric Cooperative, where was the synergy there bringing them in?
Well, when you look at who the electric co-ops provide their product to, it's a lot of local businesses, local individual citizens that are the same members that we have in the Towns Association. So when you look at the stakeholders, a lot of our stakeholders are crossover members. I'll have town officials that get their electricity from electric co-op that sit on electric co-op boards. And some of those same people are also Farm Bureau members. So it was a synergy of common stakeholder relationships that led to us reaching out to the electric co-ops and seeing if they'd be interested.
Interesting. And I understand that you're still looking for anybody that's feeling like they're in that wheelhouse to join in as well.
Yeah. Our plan is, at least initially, to start with the four groups, do some initial research projects, get our name out there, and then open it up for a broader collaboration. As you well know, there are plenty of rural issues and rural-oriented groups that would fit well into something like this to really promote good research that helps explain to lawmakers and the public what's going on in rural America and what some of the laws and initiatives and policies need to be.
Now, granted, it may be only your opinion, but what do you think one of the first two items you'd like to see them try to tackle are?
Well, we haven't decided exactly what those items would be. We're deciding that right now. But at the top of the list, you would have infrastructure. What is the status of rural infrastructure? What are the pros and cons of the policies we have now? Rural health care is a big issue. Boy, it doesn't take you a long look back into the headlines in Wisconsin to look at hospital closings. Childcare in the rural area is a real issue. We have a dearth of childcare. And if we want an economy to succeed, boy, we got to have mom and dad working. And if mom and dad can't work because they're taking care of kids at home because there's not daycare, boy, that's a challenge. So there's some at the top of the list. We haven't identified exactly which ones we're going to do. You will see something from us here. We'll make those decisions, and you'll probably see something by the end of the year as far as the first project.
All right, something to keep our eyes out for. That is Mike Colas, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Towns Association, one of the partners, along with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, Wisconsin Electric Cooperative Association, and the Welch Group that formed the new Rural Policy Institute. We'll keep our eyes out for the policy that they are intending to concentrate on. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894, making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser tells us about another massive crop of Wisconsin cranberries expected, and a Canadian railroad strike could impact farmers.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
He tells us what is signaling the tree to change color this time of year.
You know, it's kind of depends on a lot of things, right? It's going to depend on weather. But it's really depending upon the, like we might think of the length of the days, or maybe more importantly for them, it's the length of the nights, right? So as the nights get longer, then they're getting less light. And that's kind of that signal for them that it's time to shut down, get ready for winter.
Yeah, Brad Hutnick, a forest ecology with the Wisconsin DNR. He says it's the length of the night. When that increases, chlorophyll production slows. Chlorophyll is that green color in the leaves. So as that stops, you start to see other pigments in the leaf, like the yellow and the reds and things like that. Are you seeing leaves change by you? Send us a picture through our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Just let me know your name and where you're from, and you should be able to do that from the comfort of your air conditioning. It's time now for our ag weather update with Stu Muck. Stu, you're a lot farther north than I am. Are you seeing leaves change at all, or am I just talking about dead trees?
I think I saw a couple on the birch tree out front just the other day. So it probably is starting on some of those that are the early turners. How about that?
Yeah. And now, I mean, we've got three more weeks before fall officially begins. But the temperatures this week, my goodness, it reminds us to wait. We're in for another hot one, aren't we?
We have another very hot day, but let's put it in perspective. We're going to have a hot day with a heat advisory and an excessive heat warning in southern parts of Wisconsin. Far northwest Montana, up in the Rocky Mountains, the high elevations, they may see snowflakes tomorrow before the day is out. Just that big of a difference. We have a very hot pattern in the store. Talked about that heat advisory. It extends from La Crosse, Sparta, Tomah, right on across Wisconsin, right over toward Fond du Lac and Sheboygan, just a narrow band. South of that, from the Dells to Beaver Dam and south all the way to northern Illinois, it's an excessive heat warning today. Take it very easy. Be careful working outside. Even though there has been a little rain, it hasn't amounted to a great deal here in the south, really not amounting to much of anything. A hundredth of an inch officially at Fond du Lac. My friend Paul over here at the Sheboygan County border, 0.6 inch. I see Eau Claire did pick up 0.58 inch last night, but that's kind of few and far between. A cool front's dropping into northwest Wisconsin. We'll push right through the state. Rain is in central Minnesota this morning and up in the UP. Expect showers and even a thunderstorm will be developing today, even yet this morning in northwest Wisconsin, and then midday in the central part of the state, later this afternoon, the further east and south you are. But some rain chance today lingers into tonight, cooling it off a little bit. Certainly nothing drastic, but it won't be quite so hot for Wednesday. There'll be another low pressure system moving very quickly in from the Rockies, the one that may bring that snow into far northwest Montana. It may account for more shower and thunderstorm chance here by a little later Thursday or into Thursday night. The temperature's not quite so hot then, sounding a whole lot more manageable when we start looking toward the weekend in the low 80s and even into the 70s for daytime highs. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
Stu, you brought up some rainfall reports saying that, you know, the humidity hasn't really amounted to anything yet. We did get some rainfall reports through our talk text line. Just enough rain near Alto to get the concrete wet this morning. Otherwise, nothing but heat and humidity in Burlington. But it sounds like later in the week, we might see some relief in terms of moisture.
Yeah, I think we'll get some of that even a bit late today or on into tonight when we could pick up near a quarter inch, maybe a half inch in some areas. Wind has been a little bigger deal. It was even early this morning, and I think we'll see some stronger winds a bit later today. Again, that heat advisory in the central part of the state, if you will, La Crosse, Mauston, over to Fond du Lac, Sheboygan. Be south of that, the excessive heat warning. That's all in effect from 11 this morning till 7 tonight. I'm expecting a sunny, hot day today. Showers and possible thunderstorms may develop in northwestern Wisconsin yet this morning, and then spread east, maybe not holding up into the west, into the eastern part of the state till late afternoon. Those temperatures in the upper 80s and low 90s. The heat index is again pushing well up into the 100 and 105 range. South winds 5 to 10 will begin to turn northwest today. Overnight, showers and storms ending. We stay cloudy, kind of muggy. Very upper 60s for lows. Northwest breezes at 5. Partly sunny Wednesday. Sounds better. Low 80s, maybe even upper 70s in northern Wisconsin. Northerly breezes at 5. But Thursday, partly sunny, showers could redevelop. That may happen already late morning in the northwest, later in the day further east and south, last into the night, up into the lower 80s for highs on Thursday, Stephanie. Southeast breezes 5 to 10. The rain should end Thursday night. And Friday, We actually have temps that may hold in the low 80s. Sounds almost normal.
Almost. Stu will talk more about it later this week. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, along with us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a 5-4 vote August 22nd, the U.S. Supreme Court reinstated part of an Arizona voter suppression bill requiring citizens to provide proof of citizenship in addition to other identity documents. The law targets Native American voters who sometimes don't have birth certificates and college students who may not have the documents available. Both groups skew liberal. Arizona has two ballots for elections, a state ballot which includes local, state, and federal candidates, and a federal-only ballot. The federal-only ballot uses an affidavit to swear to citizenship on penalty of perjury, but does not require documents. Democracy News outlet VoteBeat found college students often use the federal-only ballot. A 2022 Arizona law, House Bill 2492, requires that citizens registering to vote provide a birth certificate, passport, or naturalization papers to register for either the state and federal or federal-only ballots. Democracy groups argued it violated both the National Voter Registration Act and the Civil Rights Act. A recent study found 9% of Americans don't have ready access to a birth certificate. In its short, unsigned decision, the High Court allowed Arizona to enforce the law for the state and federal ballot, but not on the separate federal-only ballot, preserving the ability to vote for president, vice president, House, and Senate, but shutting those voters out of local and state elections. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's a whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vita might get Swift boated, all right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Inflation slowing to the point where the Federal Reserve is looking at lowering interest rates. Gas prices a factor, down 7 cents in the past week and 50 cents lower than last year.
Well, some of it comes down to less demand in the U.S. Analysts say the biggest reason for the cheaper gas prices in the U.S. is that oil prices have been dropping globally, down 10% since July. And finally, gas prices are following oil. China is a big reason why prices are coming down. A weakening economy there is playing a role in oil prices globally.
ABC's Alex Stone. His lawyer says U.S. Army Private Travis King, who literally sprinted into North Korea last year, will plead guilty to desertion. A judge will decide whether to accept the plea deal at a September 20th hearing. No word on possible prison time for King. The St. Louis-based federal appeals court overturned a Missouri law that banned local police from enforcing some federal gun laws. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's time to send kids back to school, and that means ensuring they're vaccinated to keep them and their classmates safe. Here's Melissa Kay.
The new guidelines for school vaccinations go into effect for the 2024-25 school year. These updates aim to provide better protection against serious diseases. Dr. Natalie Weeks is a family medicine physician.
Back in the day when we didn't have vaccines for these illnesses, unfortunately, children did pass away from these diseases, and we are very lucky that we have these vaccines.
Dr. Weeks encourages you to talk with your child's primary care provider.
And money from the National Park Service will help some historic sites here in Wisconsin. Grants will help maintain places like Ringling Brothers Circus Headquarters in Baraboo, the National Soldiers Home Governor's Mansion and Chapel in Milwaukee, and the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Wauwatosa. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
Packers add a new quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers traded for Malik Willis, a third-year quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. In return, the Titans get a seventh-round draft pick next year. Willis on mastering the progressions when learning a new NFL playbook in Green Bay.
You know, progressions are a part of quarterback play wherever you're at, so I just felt like you get to different ones at this level, and you with a new team and new people, so you just got to get used to it.
College football, the Badgers getting ready for their first game of the season Friday when they host Western Michigan. Luke Fickell on what they know about the Broncos.
We know as little as we ever have known, right? I mean, they got a new offensive coordinator, they got a new defensive coordinator, and they got a new special teams coordinator. So what do you know, right? Obviously, the head coach is an offensive guy. What the head coach has done, or is it more of the Walt Bell? And, you know, are they going to be the Louisiana Lafayette where the defensive coordinator came from? I mean, so there's a lot of unknowns. You know, even with transfers and things like that, there's still a lot of unknowns.
As Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom. Join us as the Devils reunite. Crudy is excited because he's been credentialed for the Donald Trump Town Hall in the Cross coming up on Thursday. Be here for the greatest radio show ever.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 79 this afternoon. Tonight will drop to 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 77. Then on Thursday, another chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high near 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass. It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle the scent of her privates.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the farmer's market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The backseat.
take the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Athletic, also check them out. Him and Zach Halpern with their awesome podcast, The Camp.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Don't forget to follow along with us on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report. There you can find pictures from Farm Director Pam Yonke, who is hosting a farm tour with Holiday Vacations in Alaska. We can safely assume the forecast up there is a lot different than here, especially today. You can see in the pictures, everyone is wearing jackets. In Delta Junction, Alaska, that's where they just were. Pam's tour group was visiting a flower farm. It's in the low 60s. It's cloudy and it's rainy. Here in Wisconsin, we're in a heat advisory today. Expect temperatures to feel like 100 or more degrees thanks to the humidity. And I'll remind you again, make sure you stay hydrated if you're out there working. Check up on your neighbors, your relatives. Get the strenuous tasks done right away this morning or this evening when it's cooler outside. Today in the Old Farmer's Almanac, it says that the moon is in just the right position where it's a good day to move. Now, I live in Madison, and I can tell you it's moving season right now with students coming back to campus. I do not envy them at all in this heat. I'm glad those days are over for me. If you have a student in your life that you're moving into a dorm or apartment, I wish you the best. The Old Farmer's Almanac is in your favor, even if the forecast is not. Here at the Midwest Farm Report, you've probably heard us talk about Farm Rescue. This is a nonprofit that serves farm families who've experienced an illness, injury, or natural disaster. The volunteers can help with field work, hauling, or even livestock feeding, just to name a few of the services. Wade Peterson from Baraboo has been volunteering with Farm Rescue for 4 years now. He's happy to hear that the service is now offered in Wisconsin. When he was volunteering, he's traveled across the country, having helped 26 different farm families. He tells us what being a volunteer is all about.
So a case is when the farmer rancher needs assistance. They apply for Farm Rescue. Then Farm Rescue will look at the list of volunteers and kind of fit volunteers at who can fill that mission or that job. So I've done everything from haul hay, plant, harvest, done a couple different shows.
If you think of the list of tasks that you've done, I mean, you need to have egg experience, know how to work equipment, work with livestock, even as sometimes have a CDL. So what are the requirements to be a Farm Rescue volunteer?
Yes, it is. It's a very lengthy kind of application, but it picks every task that they have available, and then you kind of rate what your experience is with that task. And that's kind of how they choose who can fill what kind of void. So, you know, like planting, you know, I thought I was a 3 out of 5. But for me, I had a planter that was a 4-row planter, and I come here to do Farm Rescue, and I'm on a 24-row planter. So experience is relative.
Wade, do you farm?
When I was a child, my family, my aunts and uncles, they all farmed, and I had helped them some. For a few years, I actually had my own small farm. Small is quite small. I have a brother-in-law that lives up in Blair, and I tend to get up there and help them a little bit. So,
why did you want to volunteer with Farm Rescue? Especially because when you started, it wasn't even in Wisconsin.
Correct. It was not in Wisconsin or Illinois, so I knew it had traveled. I kind of saw it on social media somewhere, and then for about 6 months, I followed it, you know, Facebook and whatever, and kind of learned what the things they would do. Really thought it would be interesting and something I'd like to help with. So I filled out the application, and yeah, now 26 cases later, here we are.
And you said it's taken you all over the place. So where's the furthest you've gone?
First that I gone is Montana. Last fall, I had never been to Montana. Last fall, I went and did a pea, field peas. Never heard of doing field peas and never been to Montana. So they're like, well, what do you think? Oh, sure, let's go.
So it sounds like it's fulfilling in multiple ways. I mean, what is the reward for you?
Oh, just meeting the people, meeting The other volunteers, I mean, we have a huge group of volunteers, and I've worked with them from all over. The families that you help, a lot of times we're in real small communities, so we go out to eat. It's friends and neighbors will stop in and say hello. It's truly enjoyable.
At times, is it emotional? Because, I mean, some of these families are going through a tragedy, and you're their hope.
Yes, it can get quite emotional, and I get emotional, so it kind of, they start getting emotional, and it kind of just slides downhill a little bit. But no, they're always thankful, and it's great to see them smile and have a relief off their shoulders that we were able to help them.
When something happens, a tragedy, disaster, weather event, to a farm family, the animals still need fed, cows still need milk, field work still needs to get done. The work can't stop.
Oh, correct. Very correct. Farming is a 24/7 operation. And again, whether it's helping feed, the spring, I actually hauled hay from Kansas up to Wisconsin for a young lady that was out of hay. And they got to have hay. And the same with when it's time to harvest, it's time to harvest. It's not like, well, he'll be better in 2 weeks. You don't have that kind of window. So they get a bunch of us together, and away we go.
I mean, do you encourage others to do the same thing? You take vacation time to do it.
Yes. We're always looking for volunteers also, besides cases. You can go to their website, and it kind of lists the duties and things that they do. And again, that you can rate kind of what your experience is and how much time you can help, you know, whether you're retired and you got more time to help or not. So it's a wonderful opportunity to meet people, share and a goal to keep farming an active role in our society.
Wade Peterson along with us. He's from Baraboo, and he's been volunteering with Farm Rescue for 4 years. In his experience, he said the program had made it pretty simple and easy for him to volunteer and travel to help farm families in need. All you have to do is let Farm Rescue know that you're interested and fill out their application, list the skills or assets that you bring to the table. You can donate your time, but also feed or equipment, for example. Just visit farmrescue.org.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
We're in for a hot one today. Wisconsin's heat advisory means it might feel like 100 or more degrees in some areas. This is in part due to the humidity. Remember that if you are hot, so are your animals. Grace Larson is a graduate student at UW-Madison working with dairy calves. She says the heat's impact on calves can be detrimental. She has some advice to keep your animals cool.
I have gotten really lucky to be part of a study that looked at the use of solar-powered fans that were attached to the back of the hutch. And I think that this could be a really effective tool for farmers who use a hutch system, because there aren't really a lot of things out there for hutches. And it really helps to improve air quality as well as intake and thermoregulatory behavior. Otherwise, in like a pen setting, you can treat them kind of just like a normal lactating cow and have them have fans and soakers and things like that. And I think those are just as helpful.
Grace Larson along with us, a graduate student at UW-Madison working with dairy calves. Let's take a look at our dairy markets. From Chicago, the September Class 3 milk contract is up 6 cents, trading at $22.60 a hundredweight. The October Class 3 milk contract is sitting neutral at $23.05 a hundredweight. Today, the Wisconsin Ag Coalition is hosting candidates running for state office on a few farm visits in Dane County. The goal of the event is to build relationships so that these candidates can successfully represent agriculture if they're elected this fall. The group is visiting Bayer Crop Sciences in DeForest and Hague Dairy Farm in Dane. In other news, you're going to want to get your Packers watch party tickets before they're gone. Fabulous Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke, and the Wisconsin FFA Foundation are co-hosting this event at Pam's residence in Titletown, lovingly known as Pambo. This will be the evening of September 6th. The event will not only showcase the Packers taking on the Eagles in Brazil, but it will also feature live music and plenty of food and drink. You can learn more on the front page at MidwestFarmReport.com. Grain markets are pulling back on a Tuesday morning. Cash corn down a penny at $3.61 a bushel. December new crop corn down a penny and a quarter at $3.85 and a quarter. Cash soybeans are trading down 2¾ cents at $9.57 a bushel. November new crop soybeans are down 3 cents at $9.77¾. Don't go anywhere. We've got market advisor John Heinberg coming up next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I want to talk today to the folks who are trying to decide between funding their retirement or funding their kids' future education. Because for a lot of us, this is an either-or choice. And I'm here to tell you, or just to give you permission, to fund your retirement before a 529 or another school-specific savings plan. Why? Well, your kids can borrow money for their education, and they might get scholarships or grants to help them pay for it. But there aren't loans to help you pay for retirement. And while Social Security will be there to support you, most of us want or need to live on a little more than what Social Security provides. And if you don't save for retirement, your kids could ultimately end up on the hook paying for your care. Taking care of you is also taking care of them. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pickleball. Yeah. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on.
It's underbaked tennis.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, don't make fun of pickleball.
We're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
The dozen Republican White House lawyers who served in the administrations of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush just endorsed Kamala Harris?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Look at how our corn and bean crop is sizing up with the rest of the country. Market advisor John Heinberg joins us this morning from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. John, I read the markets before I called you. The grain prices just don't want to improve. And, you know, why is that? What are the reports telling you?
Well, we got a couple things that are going on here. First off, just look at the calendar in terms of how futures work. We're at a window we call first notice day for September contracts for corn, soybeans, wheat. This is a window where if somebody is long the market, they need to either get out of that position or they need to deliver against the market. Now, we're in a spot here, too. A lot of producers do what they call basis contracts. Those are due to be priced out here in the next couple of days before that first notice day window. Unfortunately, the way the markets move, some people are kind of stuck behind the eight ball here and having to make some pretty tough decisions, whether the price bushels, move bushels, things of that nature. And that's just been weighing on the market, especially in the corn market here most recently, as we continue to break through new lows, being led by that pricing window here for those September futures. You know, that hasn't been much of a factor in the soybean market. There, we've been probably a little bit more driven by the potential supply that's coming, even with this heat out there. there. There's the potential of a very, very large crop of soybeans out there. We saw those pro farmer numbers. Again, obviously, those are just in their estimate. But when you start talking 54 bushels to the acre, nearly 55, that's a massive, massive soybean crop. The problem there is we just aren't seeing the demand to absorb those types of bushels at this time frame. So the markets continue to struggle to find some footing. Now, we were a little higher in beans yesterday. I think that was fueled by the weather. But I'm looking at a radar today that's bringing some rain across Minnesota, western Iowa, as this heat hopefully breaks here in the next day or so, and this crop can get focused back into finishing itself out. You know, and the last thing, too, biggest thing kind of maybe talked about in the markets was the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Now, those are their estimates. Those aren't maybe a true reflection of what they see. I mean, they pull their samples, but I look at that report more for what are the trends that we see out there. Corn, still going to be a very big crop, but because of the wetness and some of the late planting windows and some of the water issues out there, probably more variability than the market maybe is anticipating. We'll see if the USDA makes some yield adjustments on their September report when they get out in the fields here and do their samples. Now, they'll pull tons more samples than Pro Farmer did and more regions than Pro Farmer covers. So that's still the wild card of what they see out there. Soybeans, like I just said, they had a monster number, big pod counts in terms of potential. Now we got to get that crop across the finish line.
John, I'm glad you mentioned supply because the U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, he came to Wisconsin ahead of the Democratic National Convention. And in an interview with him, he said he does think oversupply is a primary reason for the slump in the market. Is that how you see it? And do you have any optimistic news to share with growers ahead of this harvest?
Now, the oversupply issue is there, and there's a couple reasons for that oversupply in terms of obviously great weather this year overall. I know there's some problem spots here in Wisconsin, but you know, some producers I talked to in some of those key growing states, that, you know, in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, they've got a beautiful crop this year, probably some of the best they've ever raised. I talked to an Illinois producer who thought he had a good crop last year, and he's pushing 20 bushels the acre above that this year. So that just tells you what's out there in some of those key spots. The other big factor that's involved, and I wish somebody would push Secretary Vilsack on that, is where's the demand? We are not moving this product to the level that we need to on the export market. That's probably the biggest factor in our prices right now, not so much the supply. We know the supply is coming. Is where are we going to put this stuff, and where's it going to go? We're not seeing the Chinese demand right now for soybeans, new crop soybean sales, the worst sales since 2019 in terms of on the books here. We are getting some business now, but it's just very routine. It's nothing big to move the needle. Corn side, one of the worst set of new crop sales in the last 10 years here as well. So we just need to see some bigger numbers come in, and we need to see some business out there. That's the only way you're going to get through supply is by moving it somewhere else and using it up.
Heat is obviously top of mind, John. That's another thing you mentioned as well. What is the role that the heat wave this week is going to play in this week's market, maybe for crops, but also for livestock?
You know, on the crop side, corn's pretty much to the finish line here at this stage. Now, we do have some later corn that maybe gets a little bit pushed, but right now the weather is not even a factor in the marketplace unless it was in an absolute extreme. A couple days of, you know, 90s is not an extreme. If it was a week long, that's a different story. You know, but on the livestock side, there's obviously a factor there too. I mean, number one, we got a little strength in the cattle market yesterday, so that's some of the heat getting priced in. We've had a lot of negativeness in the cattle on feed report with a slightly negative 10 was probably priced in. The other factor too, looking at the milk market was limit up yesterday. I don't think that was just due to the heat. That's due to cheese prices kicking in. But obviously, if the animals are stressed, they're not going to produce at the levels they can, and that's something that can move markets, especially if it's a longer prolonged heat period than just a handful of days we're seeing right now.
John, in the last minute and a half here, we are coming up on Labor Day weekend, and I've got to ask if a three-day holiday weekend influences our traders at all. And I'm just speaking because I know we're all human, and you know, come Friday, I'm going to be pretty checked out as well. So can you walk us through, is there a human element to the market that we can anticipate leading into a holiday weekend?
Very much so. Three-day weekends bring a lot of volatility sometimes because traders don't know exactly what's going to happen in the headline front over, you know, a three-day period. You'll see some money flowing around in terms of position squaring going into that weekend. A lot of times if you have a tough week going into it, they'll square things up and not even be here on Friday. Things can get very choppy. So three-day weekends just takes a little bit of risk sometimes because you just don't know what's going to happen over the news over a three-day period.
And John, if people have questions about the volatility they see in the market, maybe there are some of the few that didn't take, you know, the advice you had last year about moving your grain out of the bin. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Love to chat with people anytime. Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com and that website, totalfarmmarketing.com.
Again, John H. at TotalFarmMarketing.com, that website, TotalFarmMarketing.com. John Heinberg along with us. He's a market advisor out of West Bend. We'll have that latest crop progress and condition report posted to MidwestFarmReport.com later this morning. Until then, I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, and thanks for tagging along with us on a Tuesday.
This is the
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Reducing dairy emissions one manure digester at a time. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A Chicago-based company, Amp Americas, just completed building its 12th dairy farm manure digester project in 12 years. CEO Grant Zimmerman.
As long as we need to eat, we're going to produce organic waste. Organic waste creates emissions, and what Amp has done is found a way to harness those emissions, turn them into something beneficial that also displaces emissions the transportation sector.
Zimmerman says the digesters produce renewable natural gas that can replace diesel as a truck fuel and reduce overall emissions.
At AMP, we have saved 2 million tons of carbon dioxide equivalent from going into the atmosphere. But that understates our impact because by preventing methane emissions, we actually create a cooling effect that gives the world more time to affect energy transition.
Zimmerman says the RNG produced is cheaper to use and the climate benefits are a bonus.
We're particularly excited about our mission because it helps us help farmers take the next step in what we've got thousands of years of history of doing, which is conserving resources and taking care of the land.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll be live from Simple Life Hospitality's Green and Gold Party House on True Lane right near Lambeau.
If you can't join us in the morning, stop by from noon to 6 to take a tour and learn more about Simple Life Hospitality.
The
Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, President.